being at war after the flesh. You know, so many times people are thinking they're fighting the flesh in this battle, but the Bible tells us that we do not fight flesh and blood. And we got to remember that what the real enemy is, and who the real enemy is, and that's the devil and the Satan, and what he's trying to do in this world. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, which means they're not fleshly, not things that we can do on our own, but mighty through God. It's what God can do through us and to using us to the pulling down of strongholds. We're going to look at what strongholds are again. Get a little review from last week. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, this is Christian living the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to live a victorious Christian life. It is not something that we are supposed to live a weak Christian life, anemic Christian life, one that fails over and over and over, one that doesn't read their Bible, one that doesn't pray, one that doesn't have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. That's not the way God has designed our Christian life to be. This here is telling us, hey, look, you can have victory in every area of your life, and those things that have become strongholds to us, we can actually pull those strongholds once we discern them according to what the Word of God says. Title of this morning's message is Discerning Strongholds. You say, Pastor, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is something in your mind that you believe and you act upon. But it is not always something that is true. We looked at that last week. I talked about how I thought North Carolina was just filled with mountains and with people who did not talk normal. And you know what? When I came here, there was no mountains, there was no snow, and people, for the most part, talked normal. And if we... there's different things that people can build up in their minds as strongholds, and they just hold to that because that's what they've learned and that's the line that they've believed and over and over. And here's the point of the series is if we are willing to examine ourselves honestly under the guidance of the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, we'll be amazed at how many strongholds the devil has built in our lives. We'll be surprised of what we have come to believe to be true, in all reality is just a lie that we allow the devil to plant into our hearts. Where do strongholds come from? Every stronghold begins with an idea. At first, it's just a thought, but if we allow it to remain, it becomes ingrained. And if we do not destroy it, ultimately this stronghold will become invincible. There are things in our lives that people, no matter how much you show them in the scriptures, they just will not believe it. A bad stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based off lies and deceptions. A little bit of review from last week. When you get a wrong thought or idea, the Holy Spirit of God convicts you about that thought. And when you're confronted with Scripture, we have two choices. You can either run to the stronghold of truth in the Word of God, or you can run to the stronghold of wrong thinking. If you run to the stronghold of wrong thinking, it protects you from the sword of the Spirit. Many times it will help your flesh feel good. If you run to the truth, it protects you from the wrong thinking and the destruction of your Christian life. We called one a prison stronghold, and we talk about those that have fleshly thinking and building strongholds contrary to the Word of God. The other one we called a protection stronghold. Remember, a stronghold, we learned last week, you even saw some pictures, is a place to which you run when you are attacked. The question is to which one are you going to run to? When you come across a situation, where are we going to run to? What are we going to go to? Are we going to go to the stronghold, the prison stronghold based off of lies and deceptions? Or are we going to run to the protection stronghold based off the unchanging Word of God? You see, that's an easy choice. It is an easy choice. But many times we have already developed something in our mind. This must be okay. This must be right. This has got to be truth, even though it's contrary to the Bible. Where do you go when you get down? Where do you go when you get upset? Where do you do when you feel sorry for yourself? When you lose your temper, let someone else have it? When life isn't going your way? Those are the strongholds in our life. Is where we justify our sins, we're running to that what we call a prison stronghold. But when we consider what the Word of God says, then we're going to that protective stronghold. Do you fall back on false patterns of thinking, or do you hold to the truth? Are you committed to believing God is good and the Bible is true no matter how you feel or what circumstances are? Truly, the battle is in your mind. And that's what we're going to look at again this week. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, how do I know if I have a stronghold? Is the point of today's lesson. How can I figure out if I have a stronghold? how do I, and that's where we come to this point of discerning strongholds. And about at the end of this, of the lesson, there's going to be six different things that I think will help us understand that you have a stronghold if, and this, but we're going to keep on doing a little bit of an introduction here just to try to help us understand. Strongholds versus God's word. Strongholds versus God's word. Like I said, there are certain things that no matter who, no matter how many verses of scriptures you show somebody and try to teach somebody, there are certain things you're just not going to change their mind about. It's a shame. It's amazing that they just refuse. You know, and these people say, "Why I'm free?" And this idea, what do you mean free? Free from I living under grace. I have liberty. And the truth is, God gave us liberty so we could choose to live for Him. He never gave us a license to sin. And you know, you hear people say, "You don't have to do that." I don't know if you ever heard that done said before by people, but I've heard people, "Well, you don't have to go to church all the time. You don't have to give tithe. You don't tell somebody about Christ. You don't have to watch what you wear and watch what you look at and watch what you listen to. You don't have to do that. That's just what the preacher says, and they don't really believe it anyway." You know, some people try to argue from the Bible that you have the right not to, and you could put a lot of things there. I have a right not to, and we're going to use a couple. And you see, as a pastor, when I use certain things over and over, not trying to beat you on the head, but try to entice or make you thinking. You know, tithing is one of those things. Sometimes people don't think they should tithe. Soul winning is one of those things. Sometimes people think it's not my responsibility, or it's something they've built a stronghold. That's for certain people to do, just not me. That's, I don't have a need to do that. And you know, we can go to the Bible and show you about tithing, about soul winning, loving our wives. You know, we have many times people say, "Well, you know what? She's mean, or she's old, or she's not attractive, or she's not this, or she's not that. She doesn't cook like she used to." You know, I don't have to love my wife that way. And then same thing with husbands, you know, submitting to our husbands, you know, "Well, he's not as smart as me, or he's not as good at this as me," or there. We build up strongholds in our mind saying, "You know what? I don't have to do that portion of the Bible because my circumstances are different." People think and think and think about it, and eventually it becomes ingrained in them. Ultimately, it becomes invincible, and no matter how many verses you can show them, or logic you use, it just will not change their mind. And it comes, and you say, "What is that?" That is a stronghold. You're probably thinking, "You know what? I know people like that." That's not what we're worried about today. We're worried about you, what stronghold you have in your mind, what things that you need to look at according to the Word of God. Because we all know that there are people that are like that. I've met people on visitation, knocking on door, inviting them to church. Says, "Why do I need to go to church?" Well, I said, "Well, like, there's a lot of reasons, but God tells us to," and show them a verse or two about that. And they're like, "I can have church right here, and I can worship out in nature, and I can do this, and I can do that." I says, "I guess you can, but that's not, if God tells you to do something, we should obey what God tells you to do." And I can show them the scriptures, I can show them the benefits of fellowship, the benefits of serving, the benefits, there's a lot of reasons why you should be faithful to a church, and even join and be part of a church. But it's just some people, you're not going to change your mind. But see, here's the thing is, we don't want to, as believers, have strongholds in our own hearts and minds. We need God's help to help those people with their strongholds, and we need to be close to God. Think about the story of Achan. Here it is. He first saw with his eyes, then he thought with his mind, then he desired with his heart, and then he acted out with his body. His eyes affected his mind affected his body. Think about what the Bible says in Joshua 7:21. "When I saw among the spoils of goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them." Now, Achan had been told, just like the whole nation of Israel, no one should take anything from Jericho or from the spoils of Jericho. And I also often used to think and wonder, you know, where is he going to wear that Babylonian garment at? I mean, he wasn't supposed to take of the spoils. People were knew he didn't have it beforehand. And when was he going to wear it? I mean, when was he going to get to spend this money and do those things? He first saw it with his eyes, then he thought with his mind, then he desired with his heart, and then he acted with his body. Now, we got to be careful when we understand what strongholds are, is when we allow things to come into our mind. Bob Jones Sr. puts it this way. Behind every tragedy of the human character lies a long process of wicked thinking. A man who is a good, moral citizen doesn't just one day go in and rob a bank. When a man who has been a good moral citizen does something like robbing a bank, it's a result of a process. Dr. Jones said it happens like this. One day the man walks by the door of the bank and says, there's a lot of money in that bank. Maybe the next day he walks by and says, I wish I had some of that money. I'd like to have that money, but I'll never get it. The only way I'll ever get it is if I steal it, and I'd never steal it. The next day says, I wouldn't steal it, but I bet I could. Those bank robbers are stupid, and if we're going to steal it, I'd do it like this. After a while, that thing takes hold of him, and he begins to believe it would be an easy and sometimes appropriate thing to do. So, you say, Pastor, well, we all have strongholds in. Then what's the big deal? How do we know? Well, there's some dangers when it comes to strongholds. There's some things that we got to realize. The devil is looking to destroy your life. The devil is looking to do whatever he can to just devour you and use your life as a mocking point or a way to cause people to blaspheme God. And when you have a stronghold, the devil can use that as a base which to launch operations into every area of your life. Think about it. If you have the spirit of fear, the devil can make you fear, afraid of almost anything. If you have pride, the devil can use it as a stronghold and spring off to where it can make you think you're above anything and anyone. If you allow these strongholds in your mind, he can go any place with it. A stronghold of bitterness, depression, greed, lust, self-pity, or desire for a wrong relationship or any other stronghold allows the devil to control us by making us think wrong thoughts. Most of the time, we have some wonderful young people that come to our church, kids. And sometimes we have some that even come in from the vans. And sometimes they had to be taught and trained because they'd never been to church. They'd never been taught to respect somebody or never been taught how to sit and be quiet. They don't listen to their teachers in school sometimes. They don't listen to their parents at home. Their parents don't listen to authority. And that's been passed down to them. And you know what? When they come to church and they have someone who loves them and someone who's trying to help them and someone who goes and even picks them up and does special things for them, you know what? They have strongholds sometimes in their minds. And the devil uses this to cause them to never respect authority. And even though someone's kind to them, loves them, they still never truly ever get it because they've allowed something to be a place in their mind and make it a stronghold, and it grows and it grows and it grows to the point. And that's why I think we have a generation today that struggles with, you know, respecting authority, listening to authority. Their parents don't want to do it, and they see that. And because of that, it's brought to them, and it's growing and growing. And someday, the parents are going to turn around and say, whatever happened to my kids? And it's because there's strongholds that are in their lives. Once you let a stronghold there, the devil can use that as a basis to be able to grow. Because if he can get you to challenge one thing in the Bible, guess what? You're going to challenge many things. Let's look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees in John chapter 8. And sometimes I think these verses are misused and misquoted. And not misquoted in the idea, because there is an evangelistic type theme here. But the Bible's saying here, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. So Jews that believed on him, what does that mean? They're disciples. They're Christians. So if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lots of people say, you know, if you know the truth about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be made free from your sins. That's, you can make that application, but that's not what it's talking about here. What it's speaking about here, Jesus is talking to believers already. He says, if you will abide, if you'll listen, if you know the truth, it shall make you free. If you continue in my word, as if you'll listen to the word of God, then you'll be free from the bondage of sin. They answered him. Now, I like this. These are religious leaders of the day. They said, we be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. I think that's funny. You say, why is that funny? Well, the religious leaders that day, they were imprisoned to who? Rome. The Roman government was the one in charge of them. They couldn't do what they wanted to. They had Caesar they had to answer to. They had Caesar to pay to. They were in bondage to Caesar. And they're saying, we've never been in bondage to any man. Hey, you think about it. Abraham's seed was known for being in bondage to the Babylonians. They were in bondage to the Philistines. They were in bondage to a lot of different people. The Midianites, they said, oh, no, we're Abraham. They had this in their mind. They said, because of our position, we are not in bondage to anyone or anything. And the truth is, they were in bondage over and over, but that's not what the Lord's speaking about here. He's talking about their sin. And he said, how sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And here's the stronghold that comes in our mind, is that when we have a sin in our life, many times it becomes a pet sin that we just sit there and kind of cater. We think, oh, it's not hurting me. But the Bible's saying here, we become a servant to that sin. He said, it doesn't hurt me to not do this. It doesn't hurt me to do this. You know what? Jesus is saying, this is your what you become a servant to. This is who you're worshiping. This is what you're serving. So we must be careful to know that we have strongholds. Think about being blinded to strongholds. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because the blindness of their heart. Now, it's saying here that we can be blinded to our strongholds. It's saying we've been alienated. We're not supposed to walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of our mind. We are supposed not to have our understanding darkened. We're supposed to do all these. We've been blinded. The devil spends a lot of effort convincing Christians they are missing out on something by giving up sin. He has caused us to think that, you know, if we could just have one glass of wine or one party with an old friend or a thrill of maybe an illicit relationship, we would be having fun and everything would be fine. But the truth is, the pleasures of sin is just for a little while, just for a season. And there is nothing, and I mean nothing in this world, that is good for a child of God. The Bible says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, it's designed to bring us into bondage. And the devil wants you to be a slave. God wants you to be free. And primarily, when the devil enslaves you to sin, it becomes a stronghold. So it's important to answer this question. How can you tell if you have a stronghold? He said, Pastor, you've been saying that over and over. I'm just trying to help you understand. We are blinded to this many times. We just don't realize that we have this. And it's become spots. That's why we got to look in the Bible and have a proper vision of certain things. Here's some things. Hopefully I don't make anybody mad with some of these things. But you know what? It's just truth when it comes to it. Number one, you have a stronghold if your mind keeps focusing on a particular event from the past. I mean, the reality is when someone confronts you, or when you're confronted with your sin, it's like, well, I do that because of what happened back here. You don't know how that person hurt me. You don't know what that person said. You don't know what that person did. And the truth is, God does not want you dwelling on past hurts. He wants you dwelling on Him. Anytime you're unhappy about a long ago event, it's a warning sign. If you have bitterness, if you have envy, irritation, or some other unscriptural attitude in your mind, you have allowed that to become a stronghold to develop. And we don't like to think of it that way, but, you know, past hurts is something God wants us to forgive, and God wants us to get past that. God wants us to learn those things. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. That has nothing to do with a stronghold. If that's the place you run to when you're confronted with sin, if that's the place where you run to when you just don't want to deal with reality. And people do that. I know people. I've talked to people. I've counseled people. We get close to an issue. We get close to the point of it. He says, well, Pastor, this happened to me so long ago, and I just can't get over it. And I knock on doors sometimes and say, well, I can't go back to church because that pastor did this. The pastor had been gone for 20 or 30 years, but that's a stronghold in their mind, and they just will not get rid of it. They got something that they run to. They're not running to the protection stronghold of the Word of God. They're not letting God protect them. They're letting their feelings here protect them from any type of confrontation when it comes to the way they live their lives. It becomes a stronghold. Next thing. You have a stronghold if you're committed to a course of action contrary to the Scripture. You have a stronghold if you are committed to a course of action contrary to the Scripture. And it's the same thing we talked about earlier. You can take a Bible and you can talk to someone about tithing. If you show them multiple verses about tithing, they will say, I don't care what it says. The church is just trying to get my money. I think it's Old Testament. I'm not going to do it. And you know what? They're already committed to that position. You could talk to your blue in your face about soul winning, or about how to treat your husband and how to treat your wife and how to raise your kids, and about faithfulness and about forgiveness and about dealing with bitterness. You can show them what the Bible says, and they says, you know what? That's just not for me. That's a stronghold. If there's something that you have a course of action that's contrary to what the Bible says, we might not like to admit it. We like to be blinded to it, but it is a stronghold in our life. And we have to come around it. Now, you know, when I think about soul winning, I'm not saying that everybody needs to be here at Saturday morning for visitation about to be a soul winner. I think it's a good thing. But at the same time, we need to be telling the world about Jesus Christ. And no matter what excuses people make, the Bible commands every person to go. The Bible commands us to do this. So we have to find some way scripturally to be telling other people our testimony about Jesus Christ. And many times people say, oh, no, that's not my responsibility. And you think about loving our wives, submitting to our husbands, forgiving one another, being faithful to church. You know, there is so many things in the Word of God that we can learn. What about praying? What about reading scriptures? What about memorizing scriptures? I'm too old. I've heard people say that. Some of you have told me that you're too old to memorize scripture. I'm too dumb. Now, none of you have said that, but I've thought, no, I'm joking, but the Bible says that we can. God will help us. And if it's just a few words a day. I'm pretty sure most of us memorize what we see in the paper, or we go back and talk about it. And we hear things on TV. We can talk about what someone wore last week, or we could talk about what someone said. We can gossip about a lot of things. We can remember a lot of things. And I know some of us are not as sharp mentally. I think I keep on forgetting more and more things every single week. And I guess feel like I'm getting older and older. But, it's here and there. God tells us to do something. He's going to enable to help us. And, you know, how many people has really tried in the last year to memorize even one verse? Most people don't. Why is that? They have a stronghold in their mind. I can't do it. But the Bible tells us that we should be meditating on it. The Bible says that we should hide it in our heart. And so, like I said, it'd be easy for me to talk about alcohol, abortion, and murder, because we all be saying amen. But when we say that we need to memorize scripture, that's something that many of us could work on. When we talk about soul winning, that means that many of us, we should tell people. Okay, next thing. You say, Pastor, is similar. It is similar, but it's a little bit different. You have a stronghold if you resist the Word of God. Now, you say, Pastor, what about the last thing? Well, the last thing was people were saying that they're contrary. They don't believe what Scripture says. This one is similar because they believe that the Bible says it, but they think their life is a little bit different. Many times I've shown someone the truth from Scripture only to hear them say, yeah, but they agree with what I've said is true, but when they start telling me why it doesn't apply to their situation. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I know I should be, but I know, you know, they believe that the Bible says it, but their answer is, I just can't do it. Yeah, this is a little thing here that we should believe what the Bible says. I love the story of the Bereans. These were more noble than any those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so. You know, they took the word of God, and it says they received it with readiness of mind. And I have some people who have, in the past, in talking with them, they try to find what the preacher says, and they try to find something wrong with it. And they'll go and they'll look and they'll say, well, and they'll even be thumbing through their Bible sometimes when a person's preaching, just saying, well, I think that's wrong. They're not receiving with the readiness of mind. Now, once again, if the pastor's preaching and teaching something wrong, there's nothing wrong with helping him with that and encouraging him with that. But sometimes people want to try to prove the preacher wrong and just don't want to receive the Word of God. They're resisting the Word of God, and they're trying to make application that just is an application. They're saying, well, I'm just being a Berean. I'm just being spiritual. But if we're digging into the Word of God just to contradict what a preacher says, there's an attitude problem there. There's a critical, when people become critical of the preaching of the Word of God, then there's a problem there. And I know sometimes a preacher can make a mistake when they get up there and they're preaching. I remember Pastor Thompson one time when he was up there and he was preaching. He talked about Jesus being lowered down in a basket over the wall. And I was the assistant pastor at the time. And I made the mistake afterwards the next day just going to him and saying, I think it was Paul that was lowered down over the basket, not Jesus. And he says, I didn't say that. But because we can say things sometimes that are wrong. I mean, I'm sure I've said little things that, you know, applying a story to it and just when you get in the motivation and the teaching and preaching of it, it's just, it's natural and it's normal. And I can make mistakes, and I know that, preachers, I've been around preachers all the time that can make mistakes. And I don't mind if someone with the right spirit comes and say, Pastor, what does, if you said this, the Bible means, what does the Bible mean over here then? And I understand that. But there are sometimes people will look and they come to church just to try to criticize. They'll listen to everything that's being said and they'll try to find something to be critical about, and then they'll kind of lampoon you. You'll try to, you know, and I've had people say, well, when you told that story, I said, look, I preached for 40 minutes. I told that story for 1 minute, and that's what you're focused on. You missed the rest of the message because of a little application or a little story. You missed the whole point. Sometimes we cannot resist the Word of God. If we resist the Word of God saying, I know this applies to me, but we have a stronghold somewhere. And most of us have some type of stronghold. This is what we need. This is what the Bible says we should pull down. Next thing. You have a stronghold if you focus on the actions of others in order to defend your behavior. You have a stronghold if you focus on the action of others in order to defend your behavior. Now, we see this with kids more than we do with adults, but I've seen it with adults before. And I got to be honest with you. I'm not a... Some people think, well, you want to be the pastor. You want to be able to tell people what to do, and you want to correct people. I don't really like correcting people. It's really no fun. I wish everybody would do exactly what they knew they were supposed to do and never have to say anything to anybody about maybe a music or about dress or about faithfulness or about serving. You know, I wish I wouldn't have to sit there and say for a month, we got a cleaning schedule out there. Please help us. Or we need help with this. I just don't like to have to be, keep on and on with people. I really don't. Some people say, well, pastors just like to be able to tell people what to do. You know what? This is one of the strongholds that are on people's lives. They begin looking at everybody else and comparing someone else's problems that they're worse. They shouldn't have to fix their problems. One person who used to work in a mission said, when he talked to a man about his drinking, he would say, well, I drink, but I don't get drunk. Well, a second man would say, I get drunk, but I'm not a mean drunk. The third man would say, I may be a mean drunk, but I don't beat my wife. The next one would say, well, I'll beat up my wife, but at least I don't cheat on my wife. You know, they begin to reason out that who was worse, and then they use that as a justification for their sin. That becomes a stronghold. And here it is. You can always find someone worse than you in an area. But that does not excuse you from doing wrong. Doing wrong. It just does not. And it becomes a stronghold. And I have this, you know, sometimes one of the challenges inside the youth group is, there's dress codes. And sometimes when you had to talk to a young lady about a certain dress code, about something being too short or a blouse being too low and this and that, and there's like, well, my skirt's no shorter than that person's skirt. You know, what they're doing is they're trying to have a stronghold in their mind. They're thinking because someone else is doing it makes it okay, or because they're not as bad as someone else. Where are we going to get back to where the Word of God says, is this true? And is this right? And let's listen to what the Bible says more than worrying about what someone else has to say or do. And that's where we come in. And they say, oh, that's kids. No, I've seen adults do it. Yeah, I might not be as faithful as I should, but so-and-so misses a lot more than I do. Or when I had to go and talk to an adult about something, it's like, well, have you talked to so-and-so about it? They do the exact same thing. You know, that's making not taking correction a good way. Which brings us into the next point. And before we get there, remember, so then every one of us shall give an account. Give an account. We got to remember that we're going to give an account of, what does the Bible say? Himself to God. That we're going to give an account of himself to God. So let's stop saying, well, so-and-so does this. Why don't you go tell them? Next thing, you have a stronghold if you're defensive when biblically confronted by a spiritual leader or of others. And I'm not good at this. I don't like people correcting me. My wife can, and sometimes in a very nice, kind way, can say, honey, can you help me here? I asked you to do this a while ago, and, you know, first thing when it comes, I want to be defensive. Well, I had this, or I forgot, or I'll say, I don't remember you telling me that, you know, and sometimes I don't remember. Remember, I'm forgetting things more often, and I need to write things down, but, you know, how do we take correction? And I said by spiritual leaders or others, because I don't want you to think that a spiritual leader and the idea of being a pastor or someone that you can look up to or someone who's been given some type of authority in a certain area or something like that. People have a stronghold when they become really defensive. I know some of you had to step out for ministry's sake. But, you know, how do we take correction? I don't take correction very well from my wife. I should do a little bit better in the idea. Now, she's not trying to tell me what to do. She's not trying to be forceful with me. She's not trying to be the man of the house. She's not doing that at all. But there are certain times when I need to be reminded of something, encouraged by something. And you know what? I'm not very good at that. Not something I pray about and try to work on. But it's a stronghold in our lives when we don't take correction very well. The Bible says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Now, I'm not talking about a nagging wife that tells you every single day, you need to do this, you need to do that. Now, I'm not saying that. My wife's not that way at all towards me. But there are times when we hear things from correction side of things, and we need to learn how to receive correction the right way. Let's see here. Last one, and it's similar to some of the other ones, but I think you can make application here. You have a stronghold if your mind holds any unscriptural idea. Examine your beliefs. Is there anything you hold on and onto in your thinking that you know is contrary to the Bible? Now, that's if you have any unscriptural idea, examine your beliefs. Is there anything that you hold on to that is contrary to the Bible? That is a stronghold. The Bible tells us, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You know, we got enough things in our mind. We do not need to allow something that's unscriptural to remain in our mind and stay in our mind. And it can become a stronghold. So, how do you know if you have strongholds? You know, do you have things that bitterness you're holding on to? Do you have things that you resist out of the Word of God? Is there things that are contrary to the Bible? You know, you say, Pastor, some of that stuff applies to me. It should apply to most of us, if not all of us. There's some area in our life that we allow the devil to make a stronghold, and we need to pull these things down if we want to have effect in this, if we want to make a difference in the world we live in today. And once again, I wasn't trying to make anybody mad today. I wasn't trying to say, hey, as a pastor, tell people what to do. But, you know, as the strongholds that are in our mind, sometimes people have the wrong thoughts about preachers, wrong thoughts about churches, wrong thoughts about husbands, wrong thoughts about wives, wrong thoughts about lots of different things. And we have strongholds. But are they the Word of God? This should be our mindset. This should be our thinking. Our minds should be what the Bible says. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.